Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Today is the day we frequently talk about economic matters, frequently talk about monetary policy, frequently talk about the Federal Reserve. So let's talk about the Federal Reserve and what's going on there. There was some news this week dealing with the Fed. It was very significant, I think, to tell us, give us some information about where we are in the economy. But it wasn't observed very much because the stock market was going up and they didn't do anything drastic besides the impeachment hearings were going on. But one of my arguments has been, and others have made this argument too, that maybe the impeachment hearings aren't serious. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. But the real reason they're having them is to distract from real problems. You know, the bankruptcy, the spending, the deficits, and the financial bubble. And that's what we've spent time here trying to describe the at least the bond bubble, the debt bubble. And that's what they did talk about a bit in the Joint Economic Committee. The Joint Economic Committee is a committee made up of senators and House of Representatives. And they don't meet a whole lot, and yet the Federal Reserve Board Chairman is required to go there once or twice a year and give a report. And it was a committee that I was anxious to be on because they didn't deal with legislation, and that was sort of a dead-end street for me, but I wanted to talk more about economics. So for some reason, they allowed me to get on that committee. I was on there for several years and had extra time to deal with Federal Reserve Board Chairman. But Powell was there on the 13th, which was Wednesday, and my general impression, Chris, is the fact that it went smoothly. He was dignified. It used to be that Bernie Sanders was on the banking committee with me, and when somebody from the Federal Reserve there, he did a lot of yelling and shouting. But there was no yelling and shouting yesterday. It was mostly reassurance, and I would think that many people who are in the debt market and on Wall Street and stock markets would say pretty good. And now, of course, the stocks are up to huge levels, more record levels. So I think that tells us, Chris, that the deep state is still very much in charge. Because if you're going to believe in a deep state of people outside of the regular government is important, you'd have to say, the Federal Reserve is kingpin there, because they don't even have to go through the appropriations process. No authorization, no direction. They can create billions of dollars and pass it out, and maybe we'll read it as a little clip. But I see this, Chris, as the problem of it's all building a big bubble. The question that remains is, when is the bubble going to burst?
That's a good question, Dr. Paul. We don't have that answer, but we do know that the people in charge of all this are lying through their teeth constantly. We know that the Democrats have been lying since Trump was elected, even before. Trump himself has been lying since he was elected, but in different ways. You know, with his greatest economy ever, everything's the greatest ever, which is not true. And, when we read Powell's statement to the committee that you said, it's hard to even read. And I got to thinking to myself, in real life, in our private lives, private businesses, you can't lie or commit fraud. If you say your product or service is one thing and it's totally different, you could end up losing your business, and quickly. But politicians, they don't have these rules. They can lie all that they want, and they do. And what are you going to do? Come back in 4 years, they say. And then there's the politically savvy businesses who see this and they get in bed with government. And they'll lie to create wars and make tons of money hand over fist. And what are you going to do? Come back in 4 years. So we really have to rethink what the role of government in this country. Government and its employees should never be exempt from the basic moral laws that we all have to follow. Otherwise, we're going to end up with this.
The Fed frequently cites their mandate, or what the Congress said they're supposed to be doing, and that is low unemployment and stable prices. And they say we're doing a very good job, and they're very comfortable, and nobody seems to be worried about that. They also have part of that mandate is regulating long-term interest rates, but the first two are what they're, you know, are instructed to do by in writing. But the truth is, when they talk about that, that is, if not a lie, is a big fiction, because they're not dealing with that. That's not their concern. Their concern is liquidity, because they had the sudden change in pricing come about the market last month, and that's when the overnight rates went up to 10%. So I think they panicked. I think that's where the real concern is. But from their viewpoint, and from the viewpoint of the deep state, and from the viewpoint of all the politicians in Washington who need the Fed to monetize their debt and continue with the inflation. See, the Fed talks about deficits. It's interesting. Over the years, the Federal Reserve Board chairman has always brought it up. And I would say, well, you're the problem. You monetize this debt. But they said, no, if Congress didn't have so much debt, we wouldn't have such a tough problem. So if there is a problem, it's because of the spending. That's part of it. But the Fed is resolved, because the Congress could not spend the money if they couldn't get it monetized by the Fed. And that's where the bubble is built.
Right. And, you know, one of the major things that we try to point out to people is the Fed, we do not need it because there's no way to run an economy. And that's what people think that the Fed does. That's what they say that they do. And that they're there to oversee it. I'm going to read one of Powell's statements. And he says, quote, "We also continue to monitor risks to the financial system. Over the past year, the overall level of vulnerabilities facing the financial system has remained at a moderate level." And, you know, this is all nonsense. I think about my own individual financial situation and economic risks, and they happen all the time. My heat goes out one day. My tire on my car is leaking air another day. And I have to manage this. I can't imagine going even to my neighbor and saying, you know, I'm going to manage your financial risks and economic risks. He'd think I was crazy. And we're supposed to believe that a few people in a building in Washington can manage a financial economy as big as the United States with 300 plus million people? It's not true, but people believe in it and they benefit from it, and it continues to go on.
And Chris, you mentioned something about what we don't do is know the date and predict a date and say that on June 15th, this is something big is gonna happen. But we do know something's going to happen, because you just can't create money and pretend it's wealth, because it isn't. It's destruction of wealth. It disincentivizes people from working and saving. So that is a problem. And the one thing that people ask me about, and that is, you know, could the Fed bring the president down if they decided to have the crash come at a certain day? I think they're capable of doing that. I don't think they're going to do that. But I still think there's a possibility that we'll be facing something like that before the election, which would be devastating to Trump and the Republican Party, because it is so vulnerable. They can't predict the future, and all the tools they have left is inflating and QE. And of course, the big lie is that this is not like the old QE, but it really is. It is, and they're dealing with a little different situation. This QE is slightly different, is that they pump the money in there for overnight rates, and that does increase the balance sheet. The balance sheet had dropped significantly. Now it's back up over $4 trillion. So they are monetizing it. And it's slightly different tools, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't go back to exactly the same thing that they did before. And besides, they've done a significant amount already just because they inject it differently. But I would argue the case that 90% of what they think about or more is liquidity in the market for maintaining confidence in stocks and bonds. And there's no way. The bond prices, they say there's no inflation. Take a look. When the interest rates go down, that's inflation. The price of the bond goes up. When it goes to negative, who knows where the price is? They've destroyed the pricing mechanism. They destroyed the value of interest rates that are so necessary. So the Fed has already done this. They continue to do this. And that is what ends up causing the bursting of the bubble. You know, I want to use the quote that they use for what this sudden event is called by some. It's called the sudden reassessment of value. It's not a bubble. We call it a bursting of a bubble, but they said they want to make it sound a little bit more academic. Sudden reassessment of value. Yeah, that can happen. There's reassessment constantly, and if an individual goes broke, and many individuals do, that's a sudden reassessment of their values, and they have to sell everything. But that is going to come, and the greatest threat to that is to our liberties. Yes, it will be a challenge to the welfare state, every spending project that we have domestically, and it will challenge our foreign policy as well. I would hope that if they ever get around to cutting back, they'd cut back all that overseas spending and maybe deal and work out some problems here. But most likely, the first cuts will be dealing with welfare here at home and tinkering around the edges, but there will not be any decrease in spending. Right now, during this week of impeachment hearings, there's no talk about the budget. Even in those here is hardly any talk about spending. But the spending is going up. Last year was nearly $1 trillion, and this first month of this fiscal year for 2020 is already up 34%, $134 billion in 1 month. That used to be the budget for 2 years, you know, a lot more. But that's what they do in 1 month. So it is a bubble rapidly growing. They have no choice under the circumstances to keep pumping, because the pain and the suffering of a correction from not feeding the beast would be so powerful that who knows what the consequence would be. But some people said, well, Ron, if you did that and you started cutting back, it would hurt. Yeah, it would hurt, and that's why it's not going to happen. That's what should be done. We should quit this. But it's not going to happen. But what is worse than what I think they should do is, you know, cutting back, is going to be a calamity when everything bursts and everything goes down. This sudden reassessment of all prices will happen. And we don't know when and how that's going to come about. The bailouts will not be readily available. And the one reason I really resent, you know, these bailouts, you know, it was like involvement about $15 trillion before. No congressional authorization, appropriation, no dealing with it. And they say, well, this isn't government spending. Well, what is it? Off the books, it's deep state spending and special interest spending, and that makes it even much worse. But it's the Congress at fault, really. It's the people at fault. The people love big government, and they argue over things that don't matter nearly as much. And they're not arguing for less government. They're not arguing for what we argue for. And that is a limited government that we were given through our Constitution, and it really is gone. And so we're going to have to make a major decision about this. And this is why I hope this channel and other people who agree with us can have an influence in how we're going to rebuild it. Right now, they're lining up, those socialists in Congress. They strongly believed in this modern monetary theory, and that's just an exaggeration and an increase in what we're already doing, which was established 100-some years ago. It's a gradual erosion of the principle of sound money. But these last 10, 15 years have just gotten much worse, and there's no significant improvement when you come to the fundamentals since the crunch of 08 and 09. All we did was pump the bubble even bigger, and it helped reassure some people and sustain people, but mostly, you know, Wall Street, because there's still a lot of complaining. And I think one of the worst complications from all this is the maldistribution of wealth, because this goes into the financial system. They get saved and they make money and they borrow money for free and buy up their own stocks and they have great profits. And that is real. And the one thing I've said many times, that what I think one of our biggest jobs is to show people that the unfairness of this system and the bubble that's going to burst had nothing to do with free enterprise and sound money. Matter of fact, it was because we didn't have it that was the problem. So we have a lot of work cut off for us, Chris, and this is one reason why I wanted to visit with you today about this meeting on the Joint Economic Committee and the reassurance that we did not accept.
Right, Dr. Paul. I'm going to finish by reiterating what you said. You know, we one by one have to remove ourselves mentally from this empire of lies. We have to each individually stop believing that some people can run the world, run the economy, run the weather now. I mean, it's insanity. We're individuals. We live our own individual lives, and that's it. Nobody can live it for us, and we can't live it for anyone else. But today, when you look at people, you know, they live vicariously through politicians. It's like they think the politician is a reflection of themselves. It's a fantasy. The economy is millions and billions of individual decisions. This cannot be run by a handful of people in a marble palace. So we have to individually, mentally, remove yourself from this fantasy world that's been created, because there's going to be a lot of people that, when the depression comes, they're not going to know where to look, where to turn. Hopefully, we can act as a voice. You who are watching can act as a voice, because the best we could do is just speak what we believe is the truth and hope for the best after that.
Very good. And once again, I will rephrase what we've been doing here. We're trying to point out really the evils of a central bank such as the Federal Reserve and all central banks around the world, and they're all linked together. We've been the kingpin, and we've been able to put on sanctions and use our military at leisure, but that's changing too. Our credibility is going down. Our dollar is being challenged. They're using other currencies now, even in the crypto world. They will be challenging the dollar. So this is a different story right now. It is rapidly changing, and we have our work cut out for it. But the message is not that complex. It is based on the principles of liberty and the assumption that people will and can and feel good about taking care of themselves. But they don't listen to the argument, and we frequently make it on here, on this program, is that they never learn a lesson. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again. They do it in foreign policy. All this stuff in the last 20 years, we helped get rid of the Mujahideen out of Afghanistan because we didn't like those Soviets. And yeah, we're in there, and we've been in there a lot longer than the Russians ever were in there. And we're in there 18, 19 years now, so we don't learn any lesson. And we have to learn a lesson that, the fraud catch up with us, and fraudulent money, and lying to us with statistics and pretending that taking care of the rich bankers and certain business people will make sure that everybody is happy. And yet, right now, we have more people living on the streets now than I imagine any time in our history. So it's time for us to wake up and realize that there is a direct connection with our civil strife and our problems that we have dealing, with this monetary issue, and that the impeachment, thing going on, and the attempt to get rid of the president, I think it's a sideshow. I don't think it has anything to do with solving the problem. I think it's just a distraction from revealing the truth about what we should be talking about, that huge increase in our spending, the deficit that goes up, the printing of money, the loss of confidence, the social strife from the people who gain more and the others lose more, and try to blame freedom for that. That's a lie. That's the big lie that we have to refute. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.